few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And good evening, everybody. It is 6 o'clock Monday night, which means you are listening to the Odyssey Files here on Para-X. I am your host, Michael O'Neill, and before Dave asks me how I'm doing, I am doing phenomenal because I did not have to work today. How about you, Dave?
I snuck in again about 17 minutes ago, so I'm doing okay for a Monday. It wasn't bad. It was a busy weekend. I wish it was two Sundays this week instead of one. But we didn't get that, so it's Monday.
You got me on that one. Dave and I just got back from a very active event at the Farrar Schoolhouse down by Des Moines, Iowa. Not going to go into details because we have a phenomenal show that we want to get to today. It is something that has been near and dear to my heart, and that I have been quite anxiously awaiting the time when we can do this. But the topic for tonight is paranormal investigation. The do's, the don'ts, the mentalities, anything and everything that deals with the actual investigation of the paranormal. With us tonight, I guess you could call him a professional. He is Mr. Jerry Ayers, who is the host of The Calling here on Para-X on Wednesday nights, and the founder of SIM, which is Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. How are you doing tonight, Jerry?
Doing just great. And yes, professional.
Yep. No, I know, Dave. I know.
I'm not saying anything. Yep. He looks professional right at the moment, so...
Darn straight. And I always do my show professionally, I do. And I know you do, Dave.
We do. Yes, we do.
Yeah,
we
you
give it
100, do, Dave.
110%. So.
You do, Dave. Definitely.
No, I got that, Jerry.
And, okay.
Might as well thank you for coming on the show tonight. That's all the time we have for you. we'll be moving on. So, Jerry.
Yes.
You and I are friends. Obviously, that's I'm not really, trying to insult Jerry. I try to be respectful to my elders.
Is this the button where you hang up right here?
Yeah.
Try
the one on the right.
Yeah, I could do that.
It's got the funny picture of Mike. The little icon of Mike.
We have been friends. We've been friends now for, good 6-7 months and whatnot, but I have never asked
sex.
You. What?
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I appreciate that 100%.
Mark, okay, maybe I'm going to go and find the hang-up button here. Maybe we'll just end the show right now, and I'll just ramble for another 55 minutes.
Hang on, wait a minute. I didn't do anything. I just said thank you. That I just don't want to know that.
You were encouraging him.
I didn't encourage him.
We don't have any neighbors here
saying
on the site
to say this.
Yeah, no. Jerry's on his own, man.
Yeah.
He's doing his own deal.
So, Jerry.
Right. Yes.
Getting rid of the transition, which I'm not going to do anymore. Just why don't you tell us exactly how you managed to find yourself, in a paranormal investigation and why you started just down this path?
Well, I've actually been in it without wanting to all my life. I was a kid and my mother was a psychic. And so it's pretty much, I had no choice in the matter. And to me, it was all scary. I hated the thought of ghosts and spirits and talking to the dead. I did not like it whatsoever. And sorry, my cat is just can't stand not being on the show. Anyway, one day she passed away when I was a kid. I was 11 years old and everything. And then that's when things started happening for me. And then I really started getting into it. You know, things that I could do, things that I could see. It was bizarre. It was extremely strange. And then what we've decided in 2010 after a place that I worked at was very haunted. And we found out that the owner of the place had passed away, and a friend of mine was watching over the place for the bank. And so we decided to talk to him and say, hey, let us in. You know, it's haunted. And he's like, no, it's not. There's no such things as ghosts. Guess what? There is. So we went there on our very first night, just as a bunch of friends getting together. We got an EVP that was unbelievable, which was the old owner saying, it's over, Jerry. In other words, a feud between us, because I didn't like him and he didn't like me, and it didn't carry over. I mean, he actually says it's over, and showed it to his brother, who was pretty much freaking out is when he found out that this was taken 6 months after his brother passed away. And that was it for us. We decided that we're going to form a team and do the right things, not the wrong things like a lot of teams do when they first start out. I mean, we're not here to police anybody, but at the same time, too, we're all doing this stuff. We're all finding out information. We're all going to certain places. And it's like, you know, if it hurts us if someone just decides they want to do their little kid stuff and trespass, and do that kind of stuff. That hurts it for us for getting legitimate places.
I agree. Now, do you feel that teams who don't have the proper training like you have and Dave has and I was able to get, and people who see the TV shows and whatnot, and try to want to go out and just go on any sort of property that has rumors of being haunted, do you think they ruin it
for they do real the teams thing like is us? Too they do and but not all of them do, because this is the thing they do. They see it, but they don't listen. They don't use the common sense that would go if a person was still alive. Like, you don't go into somebody's house and bully them around and tell them to do this and tell them to say that. You don't do that. If you were to go into someone's house, you're respectful. They're going to pick you up and throw you right out. Some people will go in and do that kind of stuff, and they may get attacked. Then they think it's cool, but they're not listening to what is really going on about the correct way of doing things. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got a quick question for you. I'm going to jump in here for a second.
Sure.
When you, and this is my thoughts, but I won't say until you answer, Jerry. If somebody goes in a place and gets attacked, okay, let's say one time, do you think that they are marked for the rest of their lives, so that other entities have that's a sign that a different entity down the road knows, hey, check this guy out. He got attacked by so-and-so because he was at his place being, calling him names and doing this and doing that. And that entity had the ability, because we all know that not all entities can attack. Right. I mean, we're all on
Correct.
The same page with that. So so you walk into a negative type of situation. You're being a jerk. You get attacked. Right. Do you think that moving forward that person, if they continue to do that, to go to different places, is kind of recognized by the other side?
Well, you know, I do agree with that to a point, because we did it an investigation, an event with some people, and then one of the people with us, Jen Cruz, who's my co-host, and she's also a psychic, helped one little girl pass over. Now, that little girl was gone. Now, a few months later, we went back to that exact same place, and we had mentioned to one of the people that there was a little girl that used to talk to us all the time, and her name was Emily, but we were able to pass her over. Just then, we got an EVP from another little girl who we've had multiple EVPs with her voice on it asking, "Where's Emily?" So, do they have conscious awareness of other spirits on the other side, or could they have conscious awareness of, well, you could say the troublemakers or the morons that are out there, you know, wanting to cause harm to certain entities? You know what? I could see that happening. I mean, I myself, if Mike was to come up to me and say, you know, Jer, there's a team called such and such, and do you know anything about them? Because they want me to come on an investigation and help them out. Now, if I knew that they were ones that are urban explorers, that don't care, provokers and all that other stuff, I'm going to tell Mike, yeah, wait a minute, Mike, this is what happened when we were there. So, right. You know, and then I would be honest that way. So, yeah, you know, there is that possibility.
Yeah, okay, because I do too. So I was just kind of curious from your background and, you know, from my background. And obviously, I think Mike agrees with me. If he doesn't, I'm sure he'll chime in. But, you know, I kind of think once you're touched by whatever is on the, you know, opposite of us, you know, that we're looking for, I think once you're touched, I think you're known. I mean, that's kind of what I've seen happen. I've seen it not only with myself, but also with other people that I am friends with and people that are in the same type of field, and they've had similar experiences where you go to a site and somebody will say to me, "Hi, Dave," and I've never been there before. Okay, hi. You know, I mean, how do you, you know, how do you justify that, right?
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Do you agree, Mike? I was just gonna ask you, Mike. Do you agree? I mean, I think you do, but
I agree, probably. You know, 90%. I don't know. I think that going forward, after you get like an attack, you know, you get attacked or you get an attachment or something like that, I don't know if it would go as far as so and so did it, as much as this person has that type of energy, or, you know, around him or attached to him, that would lead them to that conclusion. You know, that the, you know, I don't know if it's aura based. Or, you know, just the energy that you take with you. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I'm not going to say his name because, you know, invoking the evil one of Ghost Adventures means bad, you know, 7 years bad luck for an investigator. But I mean, Jen, you know, using Jen again, you know, she would always tell me of how, you know, just being around him, you could just tell that he's got like this dark energy around him and following him around and stuff like that. And then that stuff that he takes into these investigations.
Sure it is. Yep.
So I would say, sorry, frog in my throat. You know, I think that it's something that whether it affects you or not, I think you take it with you when it happens. Almost like a paranormal scar. I think, in my opinion, I think that's as far as it goes. I think they're able to tell that it happened, but not who actually did it.
Right. And I agree. And I don't think that they can tell who did it. So we're on the same page. I just think that you're marked. So I just think that if you go in there, that you just carry a signal with you moving forward of some type of calling card, that the next place you go, you know, and I don't think it has to be an attack or a negativity type of thing. I just think that if you're familiar with the other side and you speak to them a lot and you know you've been to a lot of places, like, they know, I've been to multiple places. They know who I am before I get there, you know. Yep. And how could they know? How would they know it's me? How can I walk into a place and they say, hi, Dave? I walk into a cemetery and I got hi, Dave, on an EVP recorder once. And we didn't even start the investigation. I mean, is that random? It could be. You know, I don't know. I'm just asking, you know.
Right. No, I agree. I think they do. I'm pretty sure that, you know, I mean, you know, I guess we'll never know until one of us dies and then comes back. And I'm old. Well, I'm old. I'm fat. I've got health problems. I could see that happening. And I plan on sticking around and going to, you know, teams to help prove that there is things on the other side, you know, that there is. So, yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife and I were just talking about it yesterday when we pass away, you know, what kind of things. And I want to be cremated. I don't want to be buried. I think that's just, number one, it's a waste. And if there is a zombie apocalypse, I mean, the zombies come back, you know, until you blast them in the head. Right. But anyway, so, I mean, I would like to, the one thing I'd like is for my friend Bobby Sullivan to come and smudge me off. You know, and then just and being at a funeral home, stuff like that, cost way too much money. I have a bag that I made out of buffalo and everything that is my death bag, and I want to be put into that. And I would just like everybody to come to the house and just sit around and talk, have some fun, bring your voice recorder. Bring a K2 meter, because, man, this is what I want. I don't want no big funeral, you know. I want to be able to right to the very end, to be able to communicate with some people. Maybe if it's somebody I don't like, scratch them, you know. And, you know, that's another thing, too, is, I mean, you know, it's funny that we got a call on Sunday and we ran up to Sauk Rapids to help out this girl, and this girl was scratched right away, demonic. Oh my God, everybody thinks that being scratched is because of a demonic entity. Who says that? Who is for sure that that happens? Nobody. It could be just that they, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that trying to look into or try to see the living world, things could be a little mucked up. You could be reaching for something while your hand is going through it. Your energy is different than the living person's energy. So if you, what you feel is a light touch could be an electric burn that comes off as a scratch. So it's like, you know, this, I just find that all so interesting. When people say that right away, it's demonic, you know, oh my gosh, there's demons here. The only demon I know is if you had 3 glasses of chocolate milk and 2 bowls of chili.
That is, oh, that's a demon. Yeah.
That's
oh, that's definitely a demonic. That's a demonic episode happening right there. Yes. Yep.
So yep. I have 2 things to kind of go on with Jerry. I have decided, at least for right now, well, I might change my mind later, but I'm also going to be cremated. And then I'm going to have a list of people, and I want to be put into their gas tanks. So that's I can get the last word, and I can destroy their vehicle and give them huge bills. And so
I was going to say destroy their fuel injectors. Yeah,
exactly.
My friend, so I'm going to clog up their
engines. And the other one, I had a question, and now that I told my joke first, I forgot what it was. But
well, while you're thinking about it, you know, one thing that I think is kind of cool.
I remember now.
Okay, hold on. I'm talking. I'm your guest, man. Give me some leeway.
That's right.
Have you seen the tree pods for people that have passed away with their ashes? It's a pod that you put their ashes in along with the seeds.
In the root bag or yes.
Exactly, yeah. Yes. You go and bury it, and they can come back as that certain tree. And, you know, I think that's pretty cool because, you know, if you do that, and if they harvest your tree at one time and make you into a pencil, you could be a ghostwriter.
Oh,
wow. Oh, huh? Yeah. Slap myself on the back for that one, guys.
That was pretty good, Jerry.
Thank you.
For somebody hand him a Heineken, because that was brilliant.
It was, yeah.
For a family I got that show, from wait, a three-year-old.
That was good.
Or wait, yeah. what was the opposite of that? Yeah, that's about right. About a three-year-old.
Yeah.
I can see that. My question was, you were talking about how people should come to, your house with K2s and whatnot, and that you would set out to try to...
Hold on one second. I'm sorry. Dave, maybe you're with me on this. Will you stop saying whatnot?
Yeah.
That is the most irritating thing in the world. I'm sorry to
call
you.
There's far more irritating things.
Right.
But I will definitely try to do that.
Mike, you are so awesome. I love you, man. You're good.
Anyways, my rule or my question, which was going to be a really good one, and now you ruined it. A psychic that I had, or a medium that I had on my team a couple years ago, once told me that, I know Dave, you've heard this theory, and Jerry, you probably have too, is that once you pass over, that there are actually rules that the dead have to abide by when dealing with the living. So do you think, that's why we have such a huge problem just trying to get a conversation going? Do you believe that when you died and you went to like your own funeral and there's people there with K2s and they're asking you questions, do you think that you would be able to actually answer, or that you would have to immediately abide by those rules?
Don't know. None of us really know anything for sure. None of us are experts on the paranormal. There's no such thing. So all we could do is kind of think, we would like to believe that we could. So we'll just have to wait and see. Boy, that really blew your question to heck, didn't it?
No, not at all. I wanted your opinion. Okay. I don't know why, but I did.
But no, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's very interesting.
Okay. Speaking of rules, so great transition on my part. when it comes to paranormal investigation, for your team, do you have any set rules that your investigators have to abide by?
Well, what we have is actually everybody that is on our team fills out a team member agreement, and they have to agree with these. If they don't agree with them, then really you can't be part of SIM. Some of the agreements are that everybody must be respectful to clients and their property. There's no things such as trespassing. If somebody says no, they mean no, plain and simple. Maybe in time we may stop by again and say, here's other things that, we're trying to do. Must be utmost confidentiality in all cases. Our investigations are oftentimes property where the owner requests confidentiality, and we were required to send to sign all documents. What else? Well, see, on our team, I don't know if you guys do this or not, but everybody should pay their fair way. So we collect dues. $10 per person. Doesn't go in my pocket, doesn't go in nobody's pocket. Goes into a fund in case there's places far away that helps out with gas or hotels and stuff like that. We do that kind of stuff. We also do now this may laugh at, but a no pay, no play, or a medical leave. Now what that means is if somebody gets behind in their dues, they can't go on investigations until it's caught up. Everybody pays them. It's for equipment, stuff like that. But there is medical leave. If somebody gets hurt or something like that and they can't join in, then they have up to like 6 months to rest and relax. Another thing too is if somebody is a member of SIM, they can't be joining two teams at once. You're with SIM or you're not. If there is an investigation that somebody wishes you to come on, you then have to come to the leader, which is myself, and the rest of the team to let us know where you're going to be going, and then we take a vote if it's a thing that should be done or shouldn't be done. It's, I know that sounds weird, but that's one of the things. We do things as a team. We want to keep that team together. We have team. Yes.
Can I interject a quick question there?
Sure.
Just out of curiosity, and this is not for me or for Mike. This is just for people listening to the show who might not be a part of the team. So with that said, the very last thing you just said, yep. How many people have you had to go through that you've met that you liked that had like that were good investigators, but that couldn't meet necessarily that last comment that you made that you had to kind of part ways with and then replace them and go out and actually look for somebody else quality that you could that got along with everybody? I mean, that's a difficult process, isn't it?
It is a difficult process, and it's a process that we would rather have people we don't know. And I would rather have somebody that does not have any paranormal affiliations whatsoever with any team. Reason is it, well, just like when I was a bartender. I mean, I had a chance one time, am I going to hire a regular bartender who's been doing it for 30 years or somebody who's brand new? I took the new person. Why? The other person could have bad habits that's going to be very hard to break. They're not going to do the things the way that we want them done.
Right.
As a team, not just me. So, yeah, when it comes to paranormal investigating, I tend to like the people, you know, unless we've known them. Like Jeff and Mike and Amy were, or Jeff and Mike were actually with a totally different team. And when he dissolved his team, he came to us and said, we'd like to join you guys. And it was like, well, that actually was hands down. Oh, heck to the yeah, you know, come with us and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Just so people understand, it's not running a team is a very difficult process. I just want to point that out for people who are listening, because I've been there on multiple occasions and I've kind of gotten to the point where I just have decided, you know what, I'm running solo for right now. I mean, I just don't have the time to constantly train, constantly do this and that while I'm trying to work, while I've got family time, you know, while I've got this going and that going. And it's just, it's tough. It's a tough deal. People, I don't think they appreciate how much time goes in behind the scenes.
Exactly. They don't. There's a lot that goes into teams and what we do and everything. And it's, oh my gosh, it's sometimes could be kind of taxing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's you know, being the leader and stuff like that, you know, we all make mistakes. And that's one thing that's really cool about the team I'm on, Sim, is that we all talk it out. We talk it out.
I love that. Yeah, that's a great plan, you know, just...
Exactly.
Let's all get on the same page. One little thing, maybe somebody heard something wrong, you know, don't blow it into a mountain. It was just a little road bump, you know. So
exactly. Definitely. 100%. And let's see now. What was another thing I was going to say here? Now, we require everybody have pretty much their own equipment, and being their own equipment, a flashlight, you know, a good pair of earbuds, a personal digital voice recorder, and that's about it. All the rest is just glitz and glamour. You know, it's cool to see the lights pop on and off, stuff like that, but it's not necessary. You know, a tablet and a pen or pencil is a good thing too, because you want to develop the skills that you need for this. I mean, it's a skilled thing, and you learn a lot from people. So it's from doing this. Each time, there's always something new. So let's see. And people got to learn that. Well, people got to travel too. There's a lot of traveling we do, and we do a lot of what we call supernatural chats, which people have to be available for. And that's where we go to different coffee houses and stuff like that in different towns and put on a show for everybody where we get together and talk about UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, you know, all sorts of things that people want to talk to about us or talk to us about.
Cool.
Right. Yep. Very cool. That's absolutely the kind of do and don'ts. But yeah, it's the big thing is confidentiality. Everybody signs documents, and even with our clients, they tell us what we can use. And if Joe Blow came to us and said, "Hey, I found this case and everything, you know, I kind of would like to go with you. Is that okay?" No, you're not SIM. If you're a part of SIM, you can go. You know, and the people at the house, we kind of would like only one person of that house to stay. Too many people talking to each other, stomachs growling, people walking around, stuff like that. Nope, we want a controlled environment, so only one person.
Yeah, that's the poltergeist belly. That's what we call it.
Yeah, exactly.
The poltergeist belly. We had one this weekend. It was a... And then it got, and yeah, the guy was like, sorry.
Had that to the point where it was the person who was sitting next to me stomach was actually answering my questions.
Yeah.
You know, I would ask
there for one of those.
Yes, yeah. I would ask a yes or no question, be like, no. You know, I'm like, get away from me. You're answering your stomach's answering my questions for me. I'm not asking you.
Yeah, your stomach's alive.
But I would like to interject a few more rules that that I know that I would say almost, I won't use the term, but very, very set, and these have to be followed. Number one, Dave knows it. He already knows what's coming. You do not investigate alone.
Oh, you know, most definitely, yeah. No, never, never, never.
You know, and rule number two, you know, you do not investigate your own home.
You know, there's so many people that do that, and it's so wrong. You shouldn't even have your team investigate your own home. It should be a team from the outside that does it. Someone may just want to be mess with you and stuff like that where, you know, oh, God, yeah, you're right. I mean, we do that have as a rule, and I forgot it.
Obviously, during any EVP session, no whistling, no singing. No humming. No, did I say whispering? Was that number one?
Whispering. Yeah, whispering is number one always. Yep.
Yep. No whispering, singing, humming.
Annoying lip smacking.
Whistling was the one that I wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Jerry, I mean, obviously, I know I have experienced it myself when we did Manterville. You know, I'm like, I'm catching somebody humming. I'm like, what? You know, and I sent it to you for, you know, an EVP analysis, and yeah, that's
Stephanie.
Yes.
Yeah, she did that yesterday too when we were doing a walkthrough, and I looked on over and I said, "Are you humming?" "Oh yeah, sorry." "Stop it."
Yes, pretty much. So, I mean, those are besides the rules, obviously confidentiality, you know, respectfulness. Of not only the client and the location, but, you know, the spirits that reside there. You know, obviously sometimes they know the spirit there based on the claims don't necessarily garner respect, and that sort of thing. But, you know, I don't think that even in that instance, it gives you any right, to, you know, kind of de-evolve to name calling and provoking and, you know, all this other stuff. Is there, in your opinion, any real time when, provoking is okay?
Me? Never.
Either one of you.
He doesn't have to ask me because he knows.
Oh.
Right. But you still need to answer.
No, there's, you shouldn't. No, I mean, that's rude. That's disrespectful. I mean, Mike, if I came over to your place and went, you know, "Where's your pop at? Bring it to me now. I want it."
I would call it a normal day, Jerry.
No, shut up.
But in that, I'm just going to say, in that example, you're friends with Mike. So you're assuming in that example, you're painting a portrait of an unknown entity who might be harming the living as your friend, and you don't want to talk disrespectfully to your friend, but that entity, you don't know that that's a friendly entity or your friend.
It doesn't matter. I mean, even if it's not a friendly entity, if you get that entity worked up that you're not going to be there forever. It's like when I was a kid and I used to misbehave when grandpa used to come over and my dad used to grab me by the neck and say, he's not going to be here forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Behave now. So, no, I mean, there's in my book, there's no reason to do that, you know, and especially, like I said, if you leave that house after you've been yelling and screaming and cussing at this entity, that these poor people come back and,
We don't do that. So we're not on the same page here in this conversation because we've never at a private, we're not talking private residence. You're talking private residence. So,
business too. Business you know, too is the same way.
Well, right.
You know, what's I mean, take a look at it. What's the big difference between a private residence and a business? Really nothing. You've got people that sleep there overnight and stuff like that.
But we're talking about abandoned business. We're specifically talking about abandoned places, I think.
You still shouldn't, because there's still those morons that go out there and want to trespass and do stuff like that and everything. They're going to wind up getting hurt. Why rile them up just to hurt somebody else later? You know, I don't see it. And abandoned buildings, if we investigate abandoned buildings, before we leave, we clear it. We do everything in our power to make sure that that place is completely clear.
Why?
Nice.
Why? Because, what?
Oh, I was going to say we need to go to commercial.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Okay. We'll argue when I get back.
Yes. Or we might move on. Or we just might hang up on Jerry during the commercial break. We shall see which one of the doors we choose. We'll be back in a couple minutes. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Para X.
My name is Greg Bakken. I'm a writer, a producer, and a paranormal investigator. My favorite way of communicating with spirits is through using the spirit box, also known as a ghost box. I invite you to listen to me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central for interviews with people in the paranormal community and beyond. Plus, I will also include as much of my spirit box evidence as I can during my show.
My name is Greg. Can you say Greg? Can you say Jeff?
Greg. Jeff.
Join me every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Central Time for Minnesota Ghost Box, only on Para-X Radio.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
And we're back. One of my commercials just like disappeared. I have no idea what happened to it.
It got
forgive
lost
me,
in the poltergeist belly.
Powers that be. if you're just joining us, Dave and I are chatting with our good buddy, Jerry Ayers, from The Calling, and Sim Paranormal, I guess. Of Minnesota, whatever.
Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota.
Investigators of Minnesota, yes, I got it. So that was almost kind of like saying the ATM machine.
Oh, God.
I'm just trying to make a comparison here.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
So
anyway, when you were kind of asking about that, I'm sorry. I want to finish this. Again, having someone come into someone's home, even an abandoned house and stuff like that, and riling it up so bad. I mean, who's to say that this entity is going to stay at that house? They could attach. They could go to another house if you just walk away after you've done that. Then they could come to your house and do the same to you. Everybody deserves respect because everybody, you know, I mean, all spirits, ghosts, stuff like that may have been human once. Are there some that are non-human? Yes. How do you know? There's another whole nother show right there, on if they are or not, you know.
We'll have to find another guest for that one.
You're right.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you have somebody has a question here. Suppose they don't cross to an over, but they just leave that spot. Exactly, that's true. So, I mean, if they don't cross over and they leave that spot after you've already stirred the pot with them and stuff, who knows who they could hurt next time? A kid and everything else that you don't know. And but why should you care? You've got what you came for. You know, that's just not right.
Well, that's,
you know,
that's the Ghost Adventures comment from earlier, and that's not what we're talking about.
Well, no, that is
the Z-Man and I are not the same thing. And Mike's been there to see it many times. And we have not investigated together, so you're putting a lot of assumption factors on that. Because Mike has been there, and Mike knows exactly what I'm talking about, and we have never investigated together, so I don't think our definitions of provocation are one and the same.
But here's the deal, is that nobody knows. I'm just going off what I've seen so far.
Nobody knows, but exactly. what if challenging a negative entity or an entity that's attacked before... and it's a bully, okay? Do we agree with that there are entities that act like bullies?
There could be, or they could be guarding something.
I just said, are there entities that can act like bullies? Yes or no?
Possibly.
For what I'm going to continue. Okay, possibly. So if there's an entity that possibly acts like a bully, when you confront a bully, a majority of the times when bullies are confronted, they will stand down. And then they're not a bully anymore. That happens in the real world today that you live in, not the world of the dead. So by going into a situation and talking to a bully, not respectfully, and I don't mean by calling it a name or calling it anything. I'm just saying that you're not treating it like your best friend. In that respect, how do you know that that bully, that's a possible bully, isn't stepping down? And he isn't moving on, and he isn't going anywhere else. And he finally says to himself, you know what? Maybe I was being a jerk. Maybe I'm going to stop what I'm doing. Do you know that that's not the case? Because nobody's an expert in our business.
Right, and I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm just doing from what I have seen and what I have been through.
Okay. And I have too, and that's why I defend my point, because I have been in the business for over 30 years, and I have seen a lot of negativity.
It doesn't matter if a person's been in it for 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. Well, it would if you're 100 years. Not necessarily. It depends upon what type of – it does not.
Experience matters. That's like saying that a baseball player who plays for 6 months is as good as a baseball player that's played for 10 years.
And that's happened. And that has happened.
It's rare. It's happened, but it's rare.
But it has
experience
happened.
Experience carries a lot of weight.
Yes and no. It depends upon if that person who's been doing it for all these years, that say they are experienced and stuff like that, that are doing it the wrong way or not thinking about the consequences that could happen from doing certain things.
Well, we'll just agree to disagree.
Oh, we will. Okay. Fine.
I'm okay with that.
I was wondering when we were going to get to the agree to disagree.
Right there.
That was going nowhere.
Well, no. It's just like that. I had somebody bully me on a show and I didn't stand down. No, I'm just kidding. No. I'm kidding. No, I do agree with what you're saying. Hold on. No. I do agree with what you're saying. But it's tough. We don't know exactly what's over there or the circumstances of this entity being a bully or just being protective. We've ran into a case where the whole investigation itself was around kids that were mentally handicapped. Three different psychics that came there said the same thing, that these are older boys that are protecting the weak. And is that a bully? I don't consider it to be a bully.
No.
But they don't know what's going on.
Right.
You know, they just see people coming in with Ouija boards or drawing their own Ouija boards or doing sacrifices or calling for devils and stuff like that to come on out from the ground and everything. Yeah, weekly episode of GA. Stuff like that, you know, they see this happen. So a person comes in and is trying to talk to them. They get scratched off a cat. But again, you don't know if they're just trying to reach out. So none of us will know. So until it comes the time that we die.
I would agree with that. 100%.
And I apologize, Dave. I mean, your tone changed, your whole demeanor changed, and everything. I got you riled up. Didn't mean to do that.
No, that's okay. I'm not a big provoker, but I have been in instances where I use religious provocation after I've already established the fact that what is there is not human. Or isn't going to be nice, and people are getting attacked, and I try to put an end to it. That's the only time I provoke. Other than that, I never provoke.
But you said religious provocation.
I do religious provocation. That's the only provoking I do.
That's totally different than someone just going in and screaming, yelling, and hollering.
No,
and
I don't do that. That's what I said. I don't do that.
Right.
My only standpoint is faith-based, going after something negative. That has proven itself to be negative and documented it prior to me getting a provocational type of mentality, you know, of a negativity entity or seeing it. And I have a case that Mike knows very well that the entity was very negative and was attacking an innocent kid. And we saw it happen multiple times, you know, and I went in there to save her. So,
right.
You know, I put myself in the way.
That's different. I mean, I'm just talking about if someone goes into somebody's house, yell, screaming, hollering. That's, you know, that's the deal. That's a little different.
Right. We've never done that. That's what I was trying to say. We've never, ever, ever done that.
Gotcha.
So.
Yep. So, but speaking of, you know, people that, you know, obviously you two, and in not as much, but not far behind in experience. And just common sense and the wisdom of that. When it comes to rookies, the people that, you know, have only, maybe they've done, you know, Velisca and, you know, Nopamine and that's it. You know, they've just done like events or something like that. Now they want to join a team, or people who want to join a team, but don't have any experience at all. Do you think that, they join these teams, a little too arrogantly? Do you think they go into these investigations and act a little too arrogantly, or maybe uninformed of exactly what is, you know, what is to be expected of what they are doing?
Yeah. I mean, people that are, you know, they need to first listen and to know what they're going into. And then how to act accordingly.
Right.
You know, because it's just going to end up hurting the team.
Dave, what about you?
I mean, I don't want to stir the pot, but I love bringing on new people, and I love people that are excited, and that's what I saw in you. I mean, years ago, you know, was your dedication. I could see your dedication, Mike, moving forward. But like we talked about earlier in the show, you know, it's difficult to be a director. It's difficult to run a team. You know, you spend a lot of time. People need to remember, you know, we have a life outside of helping other people who are having issues in their lives. And so it's hard when you find somebody who's really interested and they say they're really interested and they give you the whole entire feel that everything. Oh, yeah, I'm in. Every weekend I'll be there. All that. It's difficult other than Jerry, who obviously would like to have somebody who has no experience or no affiliation. I would prefer to have somebody who's been there before, been in the field, ran into a couple of different types of cases, you know, maybe a grandparent who just wanted to say, hey, I love you. Everything's cool. I've moved on. Don't quit crying. You know, it's okay. It's been 6 months, to the point of, maybe somebody being in the room when somebody gets attacked or something gets thrown at somebody, you know, I guess I would rather have somebody who's been there and seen some of that stuff happen, because then I know they're not going to freak out the next time it happens. It gives me a little bit more assurance that they have my back, I guess.
Okay, so there's a point that I'm trying to get to with that one, and we'll see if you guys agree with me. And it involves, you know, being the director and whatnot, and new people coming on. Now, the thing that, especially being, you know, the solo director of this team, I've brought on many people, most of which, you know, don't have any experience, and, you know, I'm training them, I'm trying to teach them, but they've seen the shows, and, you know, they come in with this preconceived notion of this is the way investigation should go. And I'm like, no, that's not the way it goes. You need to follow these rules. These rules are important. And when they break them for, you know, it may even just be, you know, an innocent one, you know, I just, you know, and I clamp down on them for that. You know, no, this cannot be done. And I get accused when I do this of being a dictator and being over controlling, and that, you know, now the, you know, the investigations just aren't fun anymore. And, you know, and I come back at them with, well, the investigation, yes, can be fun. We can have fun while we investigate, but not at the expense of the investigation. You know, these rules still need to be followed. And once they are followed, yes, then we can have some fun with the spirits and whatnot. But, you know, investigating for an hour and then taking 45 minutes for a break, you know, to just you know, bull with everybody is not investigating. And when I, you know, go after them for this, everybody gets mad at me. And, you know, and I thought about it for ever as to why I was so rigid. We need to do this. We need to do that. Stay focused. You know, there's no time for this. There's no time for that. And that is because, you know, unlike our normal work day, where if we make a mistake or we take too long of a lunch or whatever, we get to come in the next day and we start over again. We do the exact same job over and over again. We don't get that with the paranormal. We get one shot. You know, we investigate for one night for, you know, 3-4 hours, and that's it. That's all we get. And we have to find what's going on. We have to, you know, pretty much the who, what, where, when, and why, you know, during that time. And if we're taking 50 minutes to have a break, or we're not setting up in time because everyone wants to stand around and chit chat, you know, we're losing all of this evidence. We're losing all of this opportunity. But is that something that I just need to, as a director, accept as, you know, these investigators just, that's the way they're going to be? Or am I right in clamping down?
You're right in clamping down.
Well, you're right in clamping down, but also, too, in the beginning of it, I mean, do you guys do, like, a test of mock investigations?
Yes.
Just to see how, okay.
Wait a second. So I used to. Like, I would take... Right, we used to. So, like, when I brought Mike on, we would just... one of my big things I like to do is I like to go to an active area. I have a cemetery that I go to that I always get activity from, always. And I always took people to that particular location because it's not a client's house. It's a wide open public area. We can just talk and we can have fun, but I get to see how that person's going to interact as we're exploring and learning and talking to each other. And then how the entities are going to interact with that individual also. And that's how we used to do it. And I don't know if Mike, now that he has his own team, I don't know if he goes on mock investigations or if they just like kind of like, hey, well, we got an investigation coming up next week. Why don't you come with us and let's see how things go? I can't answer that, but.
Right. And I agree that when doing stuff like that is what makes an investigator or a newbie, as we call them, and stuff like that, into a great investigator is to sit down and teach them. Because in a way, if they screw up, whose fault is it really? It's actually the person that it's the team leader's fault that it's bad. And it's actually also a little bit of the fault of the whole team itself for not helping to build that one person to be someone that they can say, you know, I would really like to investigate with that person. You know, we don't let people do stuff on the, I'm going to, you know, just go and investigate with this guy. He's my friend. You know, no, we swish around a little bit. You know, this person should be, you know, we're going to pair you up with this person this time, stuff like that. It's not that someone is bad. It's just take a look at their habit, you know, of how they do things. Everybody learns. And it's not, again, that we're stressing that you're weak on this. This person's strong on this. So, you know, listen, no, it's we teach each other. We learn from each other. Even myself, too. I've learned a lot from a lot of my teammates, you know.
I agree Definitely. With you 100%. As I say, I agree. Shut up, Mike. I agree with you 100% with that reason, but also with this addition to that reason, is that I think that different individuals carry different energy. And so by pairing different energies together, you get different results. And that's how I always look at it. I'm like, if we're the same two people going in and it's always the same two, it's going to be a repetitious thing. But if you can get, like, you start mixing up people's energies and put them into a same situation, you got a lot more potential for great evidence.
Exactly. And exactly.
As a leader, that's what I used to do.
Yep, 100%. Yep. So we got about 3 minutes left. Really quick, we can go Jerry and Dave both. Do you have any advice from people that maybe wanted to search out a team, maybe want to get involved in the paranormal investigating, or maybe people who are on the fence about whether they want to or not? Do you have any advice for them?
If you're looking for a team, ask for references. And they should have references. If you're looking for a person, make sure that you do a background check just in case. You don't want somebody who's got light fingers and they're going to steal something at their very first chance. Just make sure that you know that you have all their information, you know, in case of emergency, and phone numbers, how they can be you can get in touch with them. Get to know them before you put them out in the field. But for if you are looking for a team, references are the biggest things. We've got references from from places that we can't even say what we did there, just that we were there, and they can confirm that we did investigations for them, but we can't even talk about them.
You know, very similar. You know, I mean, I would agree with Jerry. You know, you need to make sure you know who's going in the field with you. I guess that's the biggest thing for me. I need to be 95% confident, even on a mock investigation, that the person I'm taking out in the field is going to not overreact, not do something stupid, you know, and by stupid's a vague word, I know that, but but you know, like everything Jerry said, you know, stealing, tampering with stuff that's not theirs, stuff like that. I mean, that's not acceptable in our profession, and regretfully it happens, and then all of a sudden we become the, well, you're just one of those guys, you know, you're whatever. Right. And we all get stained by one dumb event or one dumb person who does something like that. So
right. And also one too that you know, kind of watch out their drug use, you know, or their drinking. I mean, if they're drinking too much and stuff, you know, that can wear on the team and wear on potential clients.
Yeah. And that was one of the things that we always had from day one was no smoking, because we didn't want to have any type of like, well, I smell tobacco or I smell something, you know what I mean? So no heavy colognes or perfumes, no smoking, no drinking, and absolutely no drug use. What you do on your own time when you're not with us for the weekend or whatever is fine. But yeah, I know, Mike, I see you. But yes, it's, you know, that was kind of one of the core things for us back in the day. So,
and promote investigating naked.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've done that several times. So,
All right. So that does it for us here tonight. Thank you to Mr. Jerry Ayers for coming in and joining us in this conversation. Have yourselves a good night.
Good night.
Bye.
You know, when it's a snort, it's legitimate.